It's the animated movie everyone is talking about. Scoob is available on VOD and digital this weekend. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson for the LCJ Q&A podcast. Joining me right now, the director of Scoob, Tony Cervone. Tony, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It is so great that this is available for families to watch at home this weekend. What was your involvement in the decision process going for the film going from theaters to VOD and digital?
People, you know, the studio talked to me about it, but we were all kind of on the same page with this is, you know, the movie is done, and the decision on whether to hold it until theaters reopen or kind of let it out now. And I think we were all of the same mind that this is kind of an important time to kind of let the movie out. This is a bright, fun, silly summer movie with a lot of action and a lot of heart. Like it's a really good movie for families, and not just families. It's a really good movie for fans. So I know it's just a cartoon dog movie, but I think it could do a lot of good right now. Scooby-Doo is comfort food.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the kind of things people are eating during a pandemic, you know, like banana bread and sourdough bread, it's like, it's all heavy carbs. And Scooby-Doo is a heavy carb. You know, he's warm banana bread of entertainment. So I agree, and I think now's the time to do this.
Yeah. I watched the film the other night. It is fun, and I love the self-aware humor and the references to the other classic Hanna-Barbera cartoons and the old show. What kinds of research did you and your team do as far as getting all the references and the timing of certain jokes just right?
Everyone really pitched in with the references and the jokes. Like, we really loved putting the Easter eggs in for the fans, and we really put a lot in. So, yeah, I put some in myself personally, but everyone was involved. And if it was a good idea, we try to find a way to put it in the movie. So it was a very fun group effort for us all.
Good. Yeah, you've directed some recent hand-drawn animated Scooby-Doo films and produced the Mystery Incorporated TV series, so you know these characters pretty well, but what were your main goals in this transition to a new CG movie?
My main goal, and the main goal of the whole team, was to present these characters in a way that was kind of more fully realized than any way they had before. You know, in terms of having more time and having greater resources, it was really important for us to animate these characters more fluidly, more beautifully than anyone ever has before. And then that had its own challenges, because going from a 2D character to a 3D character, but still maintaining all that charm and still maintaining all their appeal and find ways to go deeper emotionally with the characters, you know, that's all really challenging stuff, but it was something we all really dug in on and we all really enjoyed doing.
It is a really pretty animated film. You look at the colors, the bright colors, especially kind of the boardwalk Venice Beach vibe. Did you always kind of know you wanted it set sort of in modern day, you know, Shaggy even as a kid and then a younger adult is on his cell phone? Did you want it always to be set in modern day as opposed to going back to the 60s and 70s?
Yeah, we always knew that the film would be present day, and then when we show them as kids, you know, it's really only 10 years ago, so you're only in 2010. It doesn't really feel that long ago. Mm. But the year doesn't matter so much as long as we don't change the characters and as long as we're showing aspects of these characters that we've never seen before. So it was really fun showing their origin story. And when I was growing up outside of Chicago, I always felt that Scooby-Doo took place in California. And there were things I learned about California through Scooby-Doo. So it was important to me to kind of begin the movie in a sunny, bright California place. Just like Into the Spider-Verse with the Spider-Man movie that Sony made was such a great representation of New York. We wanted to do that for L.A. We want this movie to feel like I could drive down that street. I know where that is. And we knew we would go to some very fantastical places. So we wanted our Southern California to feel kind of idealized, but still kind of real.
Yeah, and the Casey Kasem nod is very nice. I caught that at the beginning. That was very good. A core part of the origin story is Halloween night. So when you were growing up just outside of Chicago, did you actually dress up as Scooby or Shaggy on Halloween night?
No, I've never dressed as Scuba Shaggy, but I did dress as Hong Kong Fooey one year.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's good. Because, yeah, the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, I mean, all those characters, you know, you if you grew up with them, I think you're really going to like this film because of the feel of it and the references and the vibe of it. I'm really happy with how this film turned out. I hope you are as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is a love letter to Hanna-Barbera. I've been there a long time. I knew all the creators. I knew all the people. Like, there's a lot of Easter eggs in the movie. My favorite Easter egg is the Takamoto Bowl, you know, like... Mm-hmm. A shout out to Iwo is important. There are people, you know, the creators, the Ruby and Spears and Hanna and Barbera, and Carlson's name. There's so many names. There's no mistake names. The original cast has been used. Their names are used throughout the movie. So it is not just a shout out to it as a property. It's also kind of a shout out to the people who made these cartoons, and we miss them.
And I like the fact that this is Mark Wahlberg's first animated movie. And I can't believe that when I was going through reading that and going, I can't believe he hasn't done an animated film before. But he is fantastic as Blue Falcon. What made him the right choice to voice a key character in this story?
I always feel like he was a bit of a long shot. I felt like he was a long shot. Just, I was like, really? Mark Wahlberg? I was as shocked as you are that he had never done animation before because he is so perfect for it. Mm. So when we found that out, we were like, well, maybe he just doesn't like animation or something. And is he really going to jump into this and be Blue Falcon? And then we met him, and he was excited about it. And then he came in and did it. And you know what? When he did, Brian really took off as a character because then all of a sudden we're like, I know who Brian is now. Like, and that's something I'll say about this cast. We try to keep the characters honest to their core. We didn't want anyone mimicking characters. We wanted them to kind of get in their skin and live in them a little bit. So we encouraged everyone to bring a little bit of their self and their own ideas to all of the characters. And that certainly happened with Brian. You know, like Brian really, Mark, I can't tell Mark and Brian apart anymore. So it was fun.
Yeah.
Fun, and I think it makes him a really unique character.
Yeah, his timing is great, and along with Will Forte, Zac Efron, everybody's got a few lines here and there in the movie. One of my favorite lines, Velma asks Fred, why do you know more about superheroes than the metric system? And Fred goes, I'm an American man. That's a great line. That is a great line. So in making this sort of superhero Scooby-Doo movie, what did you discover about superheroes that you didn't know before?
Well, it was fun to kind of tell a superhero non-superhero story because no one, I mean, Dynamutt is very capable, and Dee Dee Skies, who originally appeared in the Captain Caveman cartoon, is one of the teen angels. She's very capable, but Brian is the superhero, and he's basically as inept as Shaggy when it comes to heroics. So It was fun to kind of tell a superhero movie where the main people where the main guy who should be the hero doesn't even know what being a hero means. Playing with the tropes of superhero films and playing with the concepts and ideas, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then giving him a real moment, like a real heroic moment, I think that was really, that felt good. And you know, we looked at a lot of Bruce Timm cartoons when it came to animating Blue Falcon, but we also looked at a ton of Fleischer Superman. So I'm like, I love all this stuff. I'm an animation fan, and I don't hide my references. So they're kind of all over the place. So I really feel like this movie is like going to animation history school.
Yeah, there's some big payoffs with these characters and themes of friendship and teamwork and partnership that families are going to really like. Tony Cervone, the director of Scoob, is my guest right now on the LCJ Q&A. So there's a big celebrity cameo in this movie. Now, I didn't know about it until it happens in the movie. I know it's out there a little bit. I don't know how much you want to get into it, but I would love to know how we were able to make a certain celebrity cameo happen in Scoob.
I'll tell you, that celebrity cameo was the fastest yes we got on the movie. And it shocked us because we asked and we got an immediate yes. And even before like the yes was official, that celebrity cameo was talking about it on their own show and excited to do it. And the reason we found out why is that celebrity cameo and that celebrity cameo's son, who also appears in the movie, are Scooby-Doo experts. It's their favorite cartoon. It was his favorite cartoon growing up, and now it's his favorite thing to watch for them to watch together, and they are experts. They know everything inside and out. It's great. They kind of came to this as fans, and we are, you know, we were lucky and honored and excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because when it happens, I'm just like, what? This is crazy. But it makes sense. It ends up making sense as it runs through the movie. So congrats on pulling that off, because that's really, really good. So Tony, millions of families, they're going to be watching this weekend on the couch, at home, watching this. What is your recommendation for the go-to Scooby snack for the Scoob viewing party? Everybody's going to be having these this weekend. What is the Scooby snack of your choice?
I would say, I'm just going to tell you my personal favorite Scooby snack, what I think would complement the movie well, would be a nice fresh pizza. I love to watch pizza. I love to eat pizza and watch movies. So tomorrow night we are having pizza when we watch a movie at home. So that's going to be, that'll be our Scooby snack in the Cervoni Abbati household.
Oh, that sounds scrumptious. Wow, I'd like a pizza right now. I think Scooby wouldn't mind a pizza either. Thank you, Tony. Congrats on this film. I think it is going to be a big hit throughout the entire summer. If you love the cartoons growing up, the whole new generation gets to experience this too. Scoob, VOD, and digital platforms this weekend. Tony Cervone, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A. Congrats on this.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com. Follow me on Twitter at LCJ Reviews and Instagram at LightsCamJackson. See you next time on the LCJ Q&A.